Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, we got a great program coming up for you here in Malta this morning. We're broadcasting live from the GN right here in Malta. Big thanks to our friends at KMMR Radio for hosting us on this Freedom Friday. We've actually got a couple of their on-air talent in the house with us here to kick off the show this morning. In fact, this whole show would not be happening. This whole reunion would not be happening if it wasn't for this gentleman sitting across from me right now. Orvin is a pastor. Orvin Solberg is a pastor here at the Lutheran Church here in Malta, but he also is an on-air DJ here at KMMR. He hosts a program called The 405 on KMMR. Orvin, great to see you on the show, and tell us how this whole reunion took place, how you made the whole thing happen.
Good morning, Aaron, and thank you. And I'm going to keep it brief, the Reader's Digest condensed version. So I get to go down to KMMR often. I meet a lady who goes by the name Doc. A friendship develops. All of a sudden, she comes in on December 12th. She said, you know, you did an episode on a Reader's Digest issue. Let me tell you about mine. She told me, I mean, I can't believe this, Robin Stewart sitting right next to me. She told me Friday. She showed me the magazine Saturday. By Sunday, I already had found his email address, and Monday morning I'm talking to Robin, who's sitting right next to me.
Last night when I pulled into town here after being in Cut Bank and Helena, and we're having dinner with, you know, friends at KMMR in the GN here, and I see this table, four beautiful kids, this beautiful family, and I just think about it today. None of those kids would be here today if it wasn't for Doc, if it wasn't for this medical miracle back in 1994 that you heard of. So
1993.
Yeah,
the articles didn't come until 94. But
yeah. I mean, and so here you find out that one of your fellow on-air folks at KMMR
is a brain surgeon.
Is a brain surgeon. Most of us on the radio are not brain surgeons. I hate to break that to our listeners. But
I try to tell Doc, you know, it's an honor to have her here, but remember Jethro Bodine from the Beverly Hillbillies also was aspiring to be a brain surgeon.
Well, I'm literally looking at right now the November 1994 Reader's Digest. This story is shared there where a young man on the Crow Reservation, 9 years old, has an arrow go pierce his skull. And we're talking about a long arrow with a metal tip. I saw this spear myself, the tip of this spear, last night. It's now in a case. I think it's the first time he got to see it, Orvin. I think, right?
Right. Last night, Doc presents it to Robin in a beautiful custom-made shadow box and made out of a scrub gown. It has a pillow, the pillow that the spear sits on. One of her scrubs.
Paul Harvey even did an episode.
Oh, yeah.
If any of our radio friends can find the Paul Harvey segment, send it to us. I'll even play it on the air here before the hour wraps up if you can act fast. But no, I can't wait to hear this in their own words. We've got Doc and Robin, that young man himself, right here. Stand by.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So they love her on the radio here in Malta. That's the word from our friends here on the ground in Malta. They love listening to Doc on the radio. And then they're like, wait a minute, we didn't know she's an actual Doc. We just thought Doc was her nickname. Doc, I'm looking at you right now, Cynthia Norgan. You got these really cool glasses on. I would think you're just some rockin' DJ who knows classic rock, and that's why you're on the radio, because you just got this cool look about you. But it turns out you're a brain surgeon too. Quite the surprise here in Malta.
Well, thank you.
What was last night like for you before we just go into the history and this incredible medical miracle story from 1993?
The last time I saw Robin was when he was discharged from the hospital at 10 years old. I think maybe you turned 11 in the hospital? Or you were pretty close to being 11?
10.
Oh, okay. That was the last time I saw him till last night. And I came to the GN. I followed Orvin's voice. I could hear him and just followed him. And when I got there, I saw this incredible man standing there. And I thought, it has to be Robin. You know, I mean, I knew immediately that it was Robin. And it was kind of emotional in a respect. And I was a little bit nervous. I didn't know what he would think, but we hugged and it all started that way. So it was great.
What did you think when Orvin, you know, because here you are, you're talking probably over a cup of coffee at the radio station, a little water cooler conversation. Orvin hears your story. He's like, that is incredible. And then he says, you know what? I found that young man. I want to get you two together. What did you think when he first brought the idea up? Or did he tell you about it, I guess?
Well, when I told him that I was in the Reader's Digest, I think he didn't believe me. So that's why I brought in the Reader's Digest, right?
She's telling a tall tale there. She's telling a tall tale. I believed every word.
Well, you know, you live in small town Montana and you see people come in from other places. And, you know, sometimes people will tell stories, but it's like, no, this woman's the real deal. Big time doctor down in what, Denver, Colorado? And
that is
elsewhere.
Right.
Yeah.
So she told me on December 12th, I said, I want to see these articles. She brought them into Camamara on Saturday. Now I have a name. I have a date. Robin Stewart, 1993. With those things, go on the internet. Here he is. Like Paul Harvey used to say, you can run, but you can't hide, Robin.
So then when he tells you that he wants to get the two of you together, get his family to get a chance to meet you, what went through your mind at that point?
Okay. I thought, you know, that Orvin was like a dog with a bone. I gave him the Reader's Digest and off he went. And he actually called me and asked if it would be okay if he contacted Robin and set up a time that we could meet. So I agreed to that. I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah. But he asked me first.
Well, the other thing that stood out to me, and I wonder what it was like for you as well, you talked about, you know, meeting Robin for the first time since he was discharged from the hospital at 10 years old, but looking at his beautiful family that's sitting over there right now here at the GN, and his kids range in age from 3 to 17 years old, and I just thought, wow, none of those kids would be here if he wasn't here, and none of these kids would be here if it wasn't for your, you know, your work, because when I look at this November 1994 Reader's Digest, this is the opening two sentences here. It says, in a freak accident, a 5-foot throwing arrow had pierced the boy's brain. To save his life, his parents had to act fast. And there's quite the story there that we'll get into here too, but that was just what stood away to me. I was like, wow, none of these beautiful kids would even be here if it wasn't for your medical miracle and those hands sitting right in front of us.
Well, okay. As a surgeon, I can say that the heroes are the patients. The patients put everything on the line. I don't.
There's a will to live.
And, you know, and they take all the risks. I just go in and do what I can, and Robin's the hero of this story. You know, he's the survivor. He's the one that took all the risks. He's the one that traveled to 3 states before he got to me, and so it's his story, and he's the hero here.
And all those months in the hospital, and I want to get to his story, but I don't want to get interrupted by a break. So with about a minute or so before the break, and then we'll get to Robin here right after that, describe what that you and your team had to do to save this little boy's life back in 1993.
Well, the problem was the arrow, the spear, the carotid artery comes up through the base of the brain and it kind of makes an S. It curves. And the tip of the spear was up against the carotid artery. So we didn't know if it was just pushing it out of the way or if it was a finger in the dike. And that's why it takes two surgeons to do this, one to remove the spear and another to be able to control the carotid artery if it is a finger in the dike. Because if it was pulled out and the carotid was injured, he would be dead in less than a minute.
Yeah, so you're thinking an instinct might be, hey, pull that thing out of his skull. But it's like, no, actually, no, just keep it in place because that might be what's preventing the blood from escaping and then that young man losing his life. So you had to first just say, hey, keep everything in place. Let's figure out where this thing is sitting, where the carotid artery is first. That's incredible. All right, hold that thought. We're going to catch up with this great young man, this young dad here right after this.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, this is the, speaking of the other publications that covered this story, I told you how Paul Harvey did a radio segment on this back in the early to mid-90s as well. The Reader's Digest, November 1994. The National Enquirer, the hard copy is in front of me here as well, from November of 1994. It's a miracle. Arrow pierces boy's brain, and he lives. Gutsy 9-year-old walks to get help with 5-foot shaft lodged in his head. My goodness. She talks about this young man being a hero, and of course his parents as well, who had the smarts to not pull that arrow out and said, no, just keep everything in place here. But Robin Stewart, it is just incredible to see you here in your beautiful family. Thanks for letting us be a part of this reunion here this morning.
Thank you. I appreciate Pastor Solberg for orchestrating, you know, our meeting.
What do you want to tell folks all across Montana before I take it whatever direction or we go in any other direction, I guess?
Well, I think we all know who the real hero of the story is. That's Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
We were talking with Pastor Solberg here and the doc before the show kicked off, and you want to talk about being God's hands and God working through people, working through hands right here, huh?
That's for sure.
What do you remember about that year, that day, or sounds like even more than a year in the hospital?
Yeah, I remember still while I was playing, everything leading up to playing tag, leading up to the moment I got hit, lights went out. But even after, I remember walking through the crowds while people were screaming, my mother breaking down, just literally couldn't stand in front of me. You know, she just broken down and didn't know what to do. My dad choking back tears, trying to help me as best he can, getting in the car. I remember the bumps in the road, excruciating pain, getting on the highway. So every bump along the way was pretty excruciating. And I remember, you know, bits and parts of that as we went along.
Wow. Yeah, because here you have, you know, when I first heard this story, I thought, okay, an arrow pierced his skull and he survives. But this is a throwing arrow, I think 5 foot long, as the Reader's Digest described it here, with a metal tip on it. You now have that metal tip of that spear. It's almost like a javelin that a kid might throw at a high school track meet, right? So you still have this logic. So you felt everything. Man, every bump, that is just insane. Talk us through last night. And what, or maybe when you first got contacted by Pastor Solberg here, or what have you thought about over these past few decades?
What I thought about was what God was doing. He was orchestrating everything through the people you have sitting in front of you. And I was anxious to find out where he was leading us to. So, you know, being able to meet everybody last night at a dinner table, hearing the stories from other parties that I never got a chance to hear from. I never got to hear from the doc side of the story. And I got to hear what was going on. I mean, having her hands blessed every year by sisters from Lady of Loretto. I was, I mean, I was 9 years old. I should have gone to the children's hospital. God had other plans. I was sent to the Swedish Medical Hospital where she was at.
Doc, let's bring you back in here for a second, because when we were talking about, you know, God working through you in your hands, being God's hands in this miracle, he just referenced it here, but you were joking about, or telling us about how you have a group of nuns that pray for your hands once a week, once a month, and you never told them you were tired, so they're still praying for your hands.
They're still praying for my hands. Bless them for that, yes.
Yeah. Don't tell them you're retired, because we need all the help running radio boards, so pray for those hands as well.
Exactly. The sliders don't move on their own.
Yeah. So talk through a little bit more about last night and getting your family together with Doc and Pastor Solberg here as well.
Like I said, you know, just hearing the stories, you know, from Doc, I think I had a lot of questions for her. I asked her if she was a believer in Christ. She said she was. She's been a believer in Christ since she was 20. And as the story unfolded for me, I guess you can say I was taken care of by God right from the beginning. So, you know, it was really special to me.
Were you a young man of faith before the incident? Did your faith develop after the incident? Or talk about your walk in faith.
Yeah, my faith developed later in life. I think I had a lot more questions more than anything else as I grew up. And, you know, I have a wife who has been praying for me. And we got married. It's been about 8 years. Our relationship has been very rocky. I was previously married. And the issues with our marriage, I mean, you can say that I brought a lot into the marriage. A lot of drinking, a lot of abuse, and getting into this new marriage, a lot of that was just transferring right over, and I was in desperation, so I began to fast and pray. I had come off my fast, and Orvin had sent an email the day after I broke my fast.
Really?
And I was so astonished at how quick God was moving into this new realm of my life. And I guess, needless to say, a lot of things that I was held in bondage were released after that fast. And from there, my faith took off. I feel that my spirit has grown stronger with the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. And I believe I'm on the path that he wants me to be on. So a lot of other things started being revealed to me. I didn't realize my wife now had been praying for me as far back as 2020. And she revealed that to me and said, you know, I've had prayers answered. And, you know, sitting here, being able to meet the doc, Pastor Solberg, you know, I'm anxious to see what the future has, you know.
Pastor Solberg, he was just saying how he had this literal come to Jesus moment where he's like, you know what, I got to turn my life around. I got to fix a few things. And so he started praying and fasting. And that's when, at the break of that fast, when your message came in from him, what's going through your mind as you just heard that? Did you hear that before? Did he?
Just last night I heard it, but of course I didn't know it then. God does this all the time around us, and we need to be sensitive to his moving. Like Doc said, dog with a bone, that's just what I do. I don't know. But number one, don't you think, after something like this, that the doctor and the patient should be reunited? Our son Kenny works in Spokane, answers 911. They have these tragedies. All of a sudden he listens to this, he hangs up the phone, but you can't take it out of your head. Whatever happens later. So when with all that history, and I just want to find this guy. And I didn't know that God had a plan here. I'm just doing what's passionate on my heart.
It's incredible. And and what I've heard so far is you've had questions. You want to hear the rest of the story, you know, kind of like we want to hear that Paul Harvey segment on this very story from back in the day. Doc, I'd imagine you had follow-up questions. What were some of your follow-up questions for Robin or anything, really?
Well, I wanted to know how this all happened. I mean, I was there for the aftermath, and I hear the story through EMTs, and he went from Sheridan to Billings, and then from Billings to Denver. And so I hear it from multiple sources, but nobody knows beforehand, before the accident. And I had heard he was running around in the bullpen where the guys were warming up, and actually he was bent over tying his shoe, and somebody bumped into the guy throwing the spear, his cousin.
Oh man.
And the spear, you know, so I, you know, kind of the prelude to the whole story, I had not heard that, those kind of things, and I was interested in knowing how did this all really happen, you know?
Well, and as we've talked on the radio over the years with medical professionals and doctors and trying to expand level one trauma care here in Montana, we know we're such a massive state, one corner to the other is like going from Chicago to Washington, D.C., and you get some crazy medical thing like, okay, we've got a little boy with an arrow through his skull. What do we do? How do we get him from Lodgegrass to Billings or to Denver or to Salt Lake or to wherever? Who's he going to get to when he gets there? And then to care throughout the process. And so these are the types of questions. There are so many wheels that begin spinning even back in 1993 to try to figure out how to fix this situation. 30 seconds before the next break, how does he eventually land in your hands?
He ended up in Billings, and the neurosurgeon in Billings, his partner was on vacation, and this would take two surgeons because of the issue with the carotid artery. So the neurosurgeon in Billings knew my partner and called my partner. And my partner said, oh, yeah, Cynthia will take care of it.
Send her.
Yeah, send her down.
So they flew you up to Billings from Denver.
No.
They flew him down to Denver.
They flew him down.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, fixed wing, you know, ambulance.
With the whole arrow still in or parts of it, just a part of it?
It was cut off with a bolt cutter.
With a bolt cutter. Whoa, oh, man. Hopefully you didn't have to feel that part, Robin. Yeah, man, anyway, my goodness, this is a... Tell you what, luckily we got to take a quick break. We'll wipe our eyes here for a few minutes here.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
This week, USDA and the Department of Health and Human Services announced the new dietary guidelines for Americans. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Secretary of Health and Human Services, said nutrient-dense food is the most effective path to better health and lower health care costs.
Protein and healthy fats are essential, and were wrongly discouraged in prior dietary guidelines. We are ending the war on saturated fats. Diets rich in vegetables and fruits reduce disease risk more effectively than many drugs. Whole grains outperform refined carbohydrates. Added sugars, especially sugar-sweetened beverages, drive metabolic disease, and today our government declares war on added sugar. Highly processed foods loaded with additives, added sugar, and excess salt damage health and should be avoided. As Secretary of Health and Human Services, my message is clear: eat real food.
Kennedy and Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins say farmers and ranchers are at the forefront of the solution to healthier Americans, which means more protein, dairy, vegetables, fruits, healthy fats, and whole grains on American dinner tables. Again, the new dietary guidelines for Americans released this week in Washington, D.C. I'm Lane Nordlund. Have a great day.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
It's because there's so many things I can't wait to hear more about. I one of the notes I wrote is, hey, let's talk about Lodgegrass and just some of the incredible leadership in Lodgegrass, Montana, and men of faith, just like what we're hearing here from Robert, Robin Stewart here, who's a 2001 graduate from Lodgegrass. Survivor's guilt. Was there an element of survivor's guilt here in this post-trauma that, you know, anybody who goes through a traumatic situation can deal with here? I got to hear about the two uncles and what his two uncles told him in the hospital that kind of got him fired up and motivated to get out of the hospital. But Pastor Orvin Solberg, let's go back to you. We've got the spear in front of us right here, basically the tip on this 5-foot arrow that had been pulled out of his skull back in 1993 as Doc here, you know, helped perform this, you know, medical miracle, life-saving procedure. You said, we got to talk more about the arrow. Tell us more. What do you want to share?
Okay, so December 13th, Saturday, I go down. Doc shows me the three articles from the publication that we have right there. She lets me hold the spear in my hand. I get a picture. Do you think I'm going to keep it quiet? I'm telling everybody that I run into. One of the people that heard about that said, oh, Doc needs to give that to Robin. And I said, Aaron, whoa, whoa, whoa. No, I am not getting involved there. That's hers. I am not even planting a seed. Next time I talk to her, Orvin, I already got a carpenter building a box. I'm going to give the spear arrow to Robin.
Yeah, it's got like a really cool shadow box case that you would normally see, like a historic artifact from the plains would be put in there. But yeah, that's what it's looking like. By the way, since we're here in Malta, I gotta give a shout out to Pat Hickey. I've been doing a couple of like TV interviews, and so I had to set up like a little, you know, studio looking backdrop at the studio. And so if you've watched any of those interviews, you'll see a red, white, and blue American flag, but the flag is all built out of red, white, and blue shotgun shells. And Pat Hickey, one of the last couple of times I was up here in Malta, gifted that to me, and it's you know, wrapped in a, it's just incredible.
A thing of beauty. Yeah. And Aaron, you and I are alike because Pat gave me one. Come down to the office. Hey, I have one.
Aren't those
too
cool?
Yes,
oh,
they
man
are.
Yeah, it's incredible. So I'll have to share a photo of that on our Montana Talks website later today. Let's see. Doc, let's go back to Doc. Cynthia Norgren here. You know, to go through a traumatic event like that, you know, Robin was talking about just some of the challenges he's faced in life and overcome in life through faith, right? And, you know, I think about so many things from a military veteran standpoint, the survivor's guilt you face of like, well, why am I still here? Why did I make it and that guy didn't make it, right? And, but just overcoming through a traumatic incident like that, I mean, it's not a surprise to me that somebody would have these struggles in life, right?
Yeah, you have to remember, I mean, first of all, he had a spear in his head. He had to travel 30 miles on a dirt road to get to the ambulance. The ambulance met them on the dirt road. They couldn't get him out of the car because he had a spear in his head, you know, sticking out of the window of the car. So the one ambulance driver got in the front seat, one got in the back seat. I think his dad drove the ambulance, his mom drove the car, and EMT in the back was holding his head, the EMT in the front was holding the IV bag and taking him to Sheridan, where they got a bolt cutter and cut the spear, so now it's only 11 inches instead of 5 feet. Getting him onto a fixed wing airplane to take him to Billings. Now he's separated from his parents. He's going to Billings, and then in Billings they did all these studies on him and everything. And then they put him. They didn't have enough staff to do the surgery in Billings. So then they take him to another airplane, fly him down to Denver, and he's again all by himself. And then he sees me standing there. And
did you have the cool glasses on back then too?
Oh, I had different.
Who's
cool
this
glasses?
Rock and roll DJ working on my brain here? Right? Yeah. This headbanger working on my brain. You know. I wonder how would a medical treatment, a procedure, because, you know, again, this is just like a medical miracle, especially back in the early 90s. How would the same type of thing be treated today compared to back then? Because we've learned so much. We've got new technology, everything. I mean, the use of tourniquets after all of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan are saving a lot of lives out there for, you know, traumatic incidents. How would a brain surgery like this, I think as I was researching this, there was a case in Minnesota, I think, a year or two ago where a kid had an arrow go through his skull. And so how would that be different today than back in the early 90s, if much at all, maybe?
Well, imaging studies are a lot different today than they were back then. You know, depending on what is impaled into the brain would depend on whether you could have an MRI or not. And so with the different kinds of imaging techniques and the different kind of surgical techniques where you can actually pinpoint where you are in the brain instead of working by feel, yeah, I think the surgery would be more eloquent instead of, you know, pulling a spear out of the head.
Easy with that spear there. Pastor Solberg's pulling it out of the case. I'm like,
ask about this. What's the skull?
That's a piece of the skull that's still in the spear here. Robin, yes. Is it weird seeing this?
It is, and it reminds me of Sword in the Stone. Oh, yeah. I said everyone was pulling on, tugging on that thing. No one could take it out until it got to the doc. Doc was able to pull it out.
I was going to joke when she's like, we've got this man here with a spear in his skull. I think most men operate like we've got a spear going through our skull, you know, most of the time. But you actually had one going through your skull.
I'll just agree with you.
I've been married long enough to know that, I've got something cracking through my skull a few times. Robin Stewart, talk about your two uncles. So you're in the hospital. I mean, you described it earlier. So for those of you, if you're just joining in, man, you're going to want to go back and listen to this full audio. I'm looking at the November 1994 Reader's Digest. So just a quick recap, a freak accident, a 5-foot throwing arrow pierces this 9-year-old boy's brain. They were in Wyola, Montana at an event. Accident happens. The 5-foot arrow goes through his skull. This doctor that now lives in Malta and does on-air talent work for KMMR Radio is one of the surgeons that saves his life. Pastor Solberg here hears about the story, sees all the publications and the write-ups, sees the spear himself. He says, I want to get you two together. I want to get a reunion. And so they had their first reunion in decades last night. But Robin Stewart, you were talking about, you know, how you felt everything, every bump in the road transporting you to the hospital. You're like, and it was probably more aggressive than that, of course. But so you were really, I mean, you were awake, you were competent, you know, you were aware of practically everything. You were only in the hospital for a few days, though, but tell us about your two uncles.
Yeah, I believe it was one uncle and a brother. And they told me, they said, if you want to get out of here, you got to start walking. So immediately I was sitting up in the bed. They're helping me up. You know, they did a spinal tap, you know, because I came down with a fever at some point, and fever came and left from what I hear. Which was a miracle to itself, with no explanation of why the fever was there to begin with. So after all this, these two gentlemen came over and said, you got to sit up. You got to start walking. So I was sitting up. It hurt. It was excruciating. Next thing you know, I was standing. I'd get back down, doing reps, sitting up, standing up, you know. And next thing you know, I was practically running up and down the hallways, and in 5 days I was out.
Why were you so determined to get up and to get walking and to get out of that hospital? I mean, you could just kick back and eat Jell-O for a few days, right?
Well, yeah, for sure. But I guess when you have a support group, you kind of have a goal in mind.
Is it that warrior spirit that is so prominent too in places like, is it referred to as the Valley of the Chiefs? Am I remembering that right?
Is it that warrior spirit too, that's
that determination as well?
It's got to be. You know, there's something going on there because, you know, it's, you know, you get knocked down, you get back up, and that's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
And, even in the hospital. You know, there was much more that we needed to do, a lot of healing. And part of it was sitting up in bed and taking your first steps, you know, after the ordeal. And we did that, and we must have did it well enough at the help of these two gentlemen. And, you know, I was out in 5 days.
You get knocked down, you get back up. That's kind of that rodeo spirit here in rural Montana as well. All right, hold that thought. Man, I can't believe we're already almost out of time this hour of the show. We got to take our shortest break of the entire hour, quick two-minute break, and then just a quick few minutes left. What should we talk about with just a few minutes left? Send us a message on the Montana Talks app if you have a quick question or comment or something like that as well. Stand by.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
KMMR Facebook page here for KMMR Radio in Malta. He just did a great pan around the whole crowd that we got that came down here to get a chance to hear this story in person and see the folks in person, see the spear in person, and what a great crowd we've got here. We've got some listeners all the way from Hamilton here visiting family in the house here. So, and then got to give a shout out also to Tyrone Whitehawk in the house as well. Got to meet him a couple of years ago. Lives in one of the group homes here in Malta. So great to see you, faithful listener to the show. So awesome to have you back here. Let's see, Pastor Solberg, you arranged this whole reunion. Before I throw any other questions out there, what do you think is important to share before we run out of time?
Okay. So he had a spear in his brain, trauma, right? But then Robin told me last night, as a young child, 9 years old, he thought maybe it was my, you know, emotional trauma has just as much impact on an individual as physical. So to ask Robin about that.
You go ahead, Robin. Yeah, what do you want to share?
Yeah. So I guess, you know, to really put it simple, I really had no one to rely on. I didn't have a therapist. I didn't have communication, a relationship with my dad, and at the time with my mother. And I really was kind of left in the dark. And I had to figure out who I was alone. But, you know, the story continued to unfold. And, yeah, that's how I grew up. I really didn't know how to deal with the trauma. I didn't know where to turn with my questions. And I feel I'm an introvert, so that's probably part of the problem. So I kind of kept it to myself. I harbored it. And I tried to figure out answers for myself. And, you know, my first cousin, I hadn't really reached out to him during this time. There might have been some minimal talking, but we never really talked about it. And I always wondered how he was doing, how, you know, if this was my fault. I never really got the full story, you know, because
he was the one who threw the spear, the arrow, and then got
right.
bumped. So, and how the whole accident happened, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I hear. So, you know, that's, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, what was the true story? I don't know. But, you know, regardless of the fact.
Yeah.
You know,
we're getting really short on time now. I want to just give another big shout out to the community of Lodgegrass and some of the just incredible men of faith. You know, you spoke earlier about how your faith has carried you through all of this, your faith in Christ. And man, you know, Coach Josh Stewart was the, you know, coach for Lodgegrass for a number of years, and he was, and it was faith that led them to their state championship and to, you know, respond after, you know, not being able to play in the state championship because it got cut off right in the middle of COVID-19. And I think the folks here in Malta even invited him to come up and speak at their athletic banquet. So to have a rival team coach speak at your athletic banquet is a testament to what a great leader that is. Mayor Quincy, you guys went to high school together, remarkable man of faith. And of course, Tuff Harris, who played for the Grizz and then played in the NFL. He's got the One Heart Warriors. It's just, there's just some incredible leaders down there that are doing some incredible things, and I count you among them. So thank you so much for being here and sharing your story with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Doc, any final words from you for today, or Pastor Solberg? Doc, first to you.
Yeah, like I said earlier, you know, the hero of the story is Robin. The patient is the one who takes the risks. The patient is the one who has to live with the results. And this is Robin's 15 minutes of fame. Not mine. Yeah, I'm still waiting for
we'll make it 15 hours.
15 hours. Yeah.
I was going to say, how long are you in Malta for? How long is the family going to be hanging out? Because it looks like there's a bunch of people that want to meet and see the whole family here.
He's giving his testimony at our church on Sunday.
Really?
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock at the Elam Lutheran Church.
Brethren Church.
Elam Lutheran Brethren Church here. All right.
Yes.
Good. Yeah, great.
11
all right.
O'clock.
All right, 11 o'clock on Sunday here in Malta. That's going to be great. All right.
And one other thing, as far as he's on a fast, next day he looks at an email from some kook in Malta, right? But he asked his wife, why now? And she said, because your heart's right.
Mm. Sometimes you got to fix that first before everything else gets in line, right?
And all of it by the hand of God, you know, really.
Well, that's going to be incredible. 11 o'clock Sunday in Malta. And the 405 on KMMR in Malta, that's what you do, like a six-minute segment. And
5 days a week.
Days a week, and you use one Bible verse, and then you talk about a whole bunch of other stuff, huh?
Anything.
Yeah.
One episode was just frog jokes, right? or why kids don't play marbles anymore, or why, music.
Why do they not play marbles
they
anymore?
They do. That's, okay. That's the myth. Go online and you'll find out that there still are tournaments in for marbles. But, you know, what I'm saying, why I share that is because I'm not preaching. When they asked me to do it, I knew that I wouldn't preach, but I'm going to share a Bible verse.
One important verse.
And they know what you stand for.
Well, you know, we were talking about Lodgegrass, and I know we're really out of time right now, but I asked Tuff Harris, I said, man, how did you grow up to be so successful, you know, and his, you know, family dynamics and everything, and he said early on as a kid, I would read Proverbs every day. He would just read Proverbs every day, and I was like, wow, that is, I mean, then you go read Proverbs, and you're like, holy cow, you
and
should read this every day.
31 of them, 31 chapters, one for every day.
So even a kid like me could read it, then
yes,
if there's only
could.
31 chapters. This is an honor. Big thanks to Rytharp and the whole crew at KMMR Radio for hosting us and letting us be a part of this. From last night to today, this has been incredible. Thank you so much.